What's up, everybody? This is Healing Intentions, and I'm your host, Adrian Mimetti. This podcast is about natural health and wellness, mental health, cannabis, psychedelics, philosophy, and spirituality. Today, my guest is Yetone Osmani. He's a United States Marine Corps veteran who has deployed, and he's currently enrolled in school to become a firefighter. He's a really great guy, and we had a fun time recording, and I really hope you guys enjoy. Let's dive in. Well, we're about to light up this blunt of this Platinum OG. No, it's the stuff that you brought.
The Blue Dream.
Blue Dream, yeah. Yep. Blue Dream. Glad that you could make it, man. I'm excited for this.
Yeah, me too. I'm excited.
Yeah, man. We've met pretty recently. You know, we haven't known each other for too long. Just over a year now.
Yeah.
And
When was the bachelor party?
It was in June of last year, I believe, right?
Yeah, it was.
Yep. And those are my cousin Ramadan. Shout out Ramadan. His bachelor party out at a cabin by a lake in Wisconsin. It was a lot of fun. It was like, what, 16 guys?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's where me and Tony here met. And gotten along ever since then, and he's come over here, chilled a couple times, and we said, hey, might as well record a podcast. I'm sure you've got a lot of cool stories to tell from your travels.
I got a few here and there. Not too wild, but I got a few good ones.
I'm excited to see what this Blue Dream tastes like.
Yeah, I haven't smoked it as a blunt. So,
and how long?
Like, ever, dude.
Wow.
Yeah, I haven't smoked a blunt in a long time.
I don't do it that often, but because it is tobacco, you know, it is, yeah, like who knows what, yeah, but every once in a while it is a different experience.
Yeah.
From,
I like they burn. I feel like the burn is better all around than like a pre-roll. Pre-rolls are just nice because you can get like the hemp ones. They're like more natural, easy to pack, you know?
Yep. Yep. Exactly. Yeah, they've made it really convenient. I mean, just that since I've started smoking cannabis since the last like 6-7 years, really, I'd say they've had these raw cones out, and that's what I use, you know, and it makes it so easy. You literally just scoop it out, twist it off at the top. It's got the filter, and it couldn't be easier, you know.
Yeah, that I like those because they're super just convenient too.
Mm-hmm. I like this Blue Dream.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. I like the blunt wrap too, because it's like sweet. It has like a sweet little like hint to it.
Mm-hmm. Get all the flavors.
Yeah.
All the terpenes. So, tell everybody a little bit about your history. What you know, your path, kind of.
Okay.
Your story till now.
Well, I'm 23, gonna be 24 in a few days, June 11th.
Oh, cool.
But let's see. I went to high school over here in Illinois. From there, joined the Marines, did all that. Deployed, was in Kuwait, was in Iraq for a little bit. And now I'm going to school to be a firefighter.
Mm-hmm.
So there's cool. That.
Nice. How long were you in the Marines?
4 years.
Nice. And how many times were you out deployed?
Just the one time. It was 6 months altogether.
Okay. Nice, man. And you were stationed out in San Diego for a little bit, right?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Good old days.
How long were you in San Diego total?
Let's see. Oh, man. I don't know. Probably, if you take out the time I was deployed, so it was probably like 2-3 years total in San Diego, give or take a few months, probably.
Cool. I love it there.
Yeah, San Diego's great, man.
It's one of my favorite places, honestly, in California.
Yeah, I mean, being in the military, though, like, you're a little bit more restricted. That's kind of part of the whole deal, which is fine. I mean, you can go whenever you please, but, like, you got work, obviously, and, like, you can't be stupid, so, you know. But it's still, like, a beautiful place.
Yeah.
I love it. I don't think I'd ever live there long term, maybe for a short term, just because it's super expensive, and I don't, sometimes I, it's just not like my whole deal, you know? I feel like I wouldn't want to stay there forever if I did go there.
I could see that, yeah. It's a nice place to visit, a lot of people say, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe bring this a little bit closer, but yeah, there you go.
Is that better?
Yep.
All right, cool.
Yeah, perfect. Nice, man. Yeah, I haven't smoked a blunt in a while.
Yeah.
Actually, no, I just did on Friday, but besides that.
Yeah.
It was a while.
Besides that, a while. Yeah, I haven't smoked one in a long, long time. I didn't really start smoking until after the Marines, because, it was, like, obviously in the military, not my thing. Mm-hmm. And before that, in high school, maybe I think I hit a joint once. Like, literally once or twice, and then, like, yeah. But, like, I got out, and it still wasn't my thing after that for a little bit. And then I'm a pretty angry person, I'm going to be honest. Mm-hmm. Like, I got a lot of anger. But, honestly, weed has definitely, like, helped me, like, chill out and kind of find a little bit more zen, like, to my daily routine. I don't smoke every day either. Mm-hmm. But, like, when I do, it just kind of zens me out, like, for longer periods of time, if that makes sense.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that now that I'm looking at it, the mic is actually, the front of it's over here.
Oh.
Because he was using it, yeah, like that. So you got to move it up. Yeah, because I felt like it sounded a little off.
Okay. Is there a way to, like, rotate it?
Yeah, rotate the whole, like, not really, like, that way, but you rotate the whole arm. You know what I'm saying? Like, just re-maneuver kind of the whole,
like,
thing.
Like this?
Yeah, you see how it sounds different now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, is that better?
Yep.
Okay, we're gonna have to... Okay, never mind.
Yeah. Now we're gonna roll. All we're
right,
gonna roll
with
it.
Let's do it.
Yeah, bro. So, yeah, there you go.
There
whatever
we go.
You gotta adjust.
Way better. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, that's my fault.
No, it's all good. It's all good. Is this good now?
Yep.
All right.
You see how it sounds more,
yeah,
like, louder? Because,
yeah,
I was better. Like, why do I sound so loud?
Yeah, no, this is way better.
Okay.
Okay.
Technical difficulties. We're all good. New at this. Sorry. Third episode. So you were saying about you smoked in high school once.
Yeah, like maybe like once. And then I just was like, I don't, like, was it my thing? Got nervous, got anxious, and I just didn't do it again.
Right.
Yeah.
See, that's interesting. I have a similar story. I tried it one time when I was 18, when I was a freshman in college, and I was already a little bit, like, tipsy.
Yeah.
And I took a bong rip, and it was just like, I just got blasted. And, like, I felt like I couldn't feel my body. Like, I was numb.
Yeah.
Like, I was like,
yeah,
what the fuck is this?
You definitely don't want to smoke a drink, man.
Yeah. That was my first time. That
was
my first
time. Was a disaster.
Exposure to it. And then the second time, I was like, oh, fuck that. The second time, we're talking about cannabis here. Yeah. Second time, I was with my friends. It was like 21. I think I was like 21 probably at one of my friends' houses, and I smoked, and then they just kept like messing with me. They're like, Adrian, are you high? How do you feel? Are you high? Are you high? Like, and it was just like not a good experience, you know? And I didn't touch it again until I was like 26.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's
and then, you know, I started.
What got you to try it again?
I was hanging out with my friends from work, George, shout out George, and Steve and Keith. They all live together in the city. And we'd hang out, and, you know, I was like, you know, I started realizing, like, all these intelligent people, you know, consume cannabis. Like, am I being lied to about this? Like, let me look into this a little bit more. And then I was working with a guy, and he had his PhD in chemistry, and his teacher was one of the, like, most world-renowned chemists, just won a Nobel Peace Prize at Northwestern. And he said that he had 2 ounces of cannabis in his fridge, and he would smoke with students. And I was like, huh. And I was like, maybe there's something to this. And,
yeah,
I started looking into it more, and I smoked with my friends, and I was like, whoa. And I loved how it felt and had a great time and chilled and, you know. And then I started digging more, and the more you dig into the history and just the facts about cannabis, you're just, like, blown away. Just like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know? And ever since then, that's been the last, what, 7-8 years I've been all about it, as most people know. So, you know, I have a passion for it because, you know, we've been lied to about it. I bought into all the reefer madness, you know, bullshit.
Yeah.
And now I realize, like, holy shit, this is a plant that's been used for thousands of years all over the world. Like, I need to get this truth out to as many people as I can. So that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, that's dope. That's super cool.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Thank you. You know, I think it can be, if people can have a glass of wine or, you know, a glass of whiskey or whatever at the end of the night to chill, or some a beer or two. What's wrong with us having a blunt or, you know, a nice joint and just relaxing and chilling like responsible adults? Like,
yeah,
nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with it. If anything, cannabis, I don't think it isn't linked to any actual deaths itself.
No.
From what I know.
No.
I mean, look at and then compare it to alcohol. So, you know, if that's legal, why can't cannabis be legal?
Yeah.
And it's just a plant, you know, it grows, it's natural.
Yep.
It's not manufactured, so.
Exactly.
Unlike alcohol, which is, you know, brewed and whatever that process is, but, you know, it's made somewhere.
Right.
It doesn't grow, you know, naturally.
Mm-hmm.
It's not blown out of a river.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see the issue
of, like,
but
criminalizing nature.
Yeah. And that's, and you gave me that one book about the cannabis. I haven't read it yet, but I want to get to it because I definitely want to see what it has to say.
A lot of good stuff.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah. What was it? The Cannabis Manifesto?
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Or Smoke Signals. I forgot.
No, it was Smoke Signals.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Highly recommend that book, Smoke Signals by Martin Lee. Amazing. Amazing book. He goes into the history, the social history, the science, just the, you know, why this was used for a plant, and even in the U.S. pharmacopoeia from 1850 to like 1937 or something like that, like a long, long time, and all of a sudden it became illegal. You know, there's a lot of reasons behind that. A lot of it's due to hemp and Randolph Hearst, and, you know, hemp is a lot more efficient, you know, instead of paper industries and cotton, and hemp can replace so many things, man. It's just unbelievable, the potential.
Yeah, it has a lot of potential to put a lot of big businesses, like, out of business, you know.
Yeah, right.
So and that's why it was illegal for so long, you know.
Yeah, you just say, you know, people say follow the money, like, you just add up all that money. It's like, huh, oh, when people switch to cannabis or using, you know, CBD or any combination of that, and they all of a sudden get off, like, a lot of their pharmaceutical drugs, like, whoa, that kind of shifts a lot of people's paradigm of, like, huh, this one thing can get me off of four or five different things. Like, how does that work?
Yeah.
I'm not saying, you know, get off your medications, but, you know, there's different ways about things. Like, there's a time and place for medications. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. But there's different ways to treat things. You don't need to go straight to drugs every time, you know.
Right.
Sometimes you have to get to the root of a different issue to solve, like, you know, the issue that's, like, leading your pain.
Right.
You know, it's not a one-way street.
Yep. You got to get to the root cause, you know. We're looking at in naturopathic medicine treating people, not diseases.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you have back pain, you know, or headaches or whatever, it could be for many, many different reasons, different from this other person and different from this other person, you know. So we got to look at your whole picture. It could be as simple as just drink a bunch more water, go to sleep at a decent time, and watch them magically get 80% better just from doing that alone, you know? Just simple stuff. Simple, but it might not be easy sometimes, especially if you can, like, change your diet.
Changing your diet is definitely super hard for anyone, even me. I think I take fitness pretty seriously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the gyms are open, I work out every single day.
Nice.
Pretty much, you know? But, like, Changing your nutrition is super hard, especially if you have things you really enjoy eating.
Now, did you get the discipline of, like, working out from the military, or did you have that even before going in?
I had that before I was even going in, but the military and wrestling are really what got me into the whole fitness thing. Because before that, I think I was a little bit more of a pudgy kid.
Uh-huh.
And then I started to wrestle my eighth grade year, and then I lost a bunch of weight, and then from there I was just, like, super small and skinny. And then I started working out because my dad, he actually used to be, like, a bodybuilder, and he's still a pretty big weightlifter, and he's you know, he's an older guy. That's cool. So, I think I got it from him. But when I got into the military, it definitely became like a bigger thing for me. And then once I deployed, it became an even bigger thing for me because mm-hmm. all you have out there is, you know, like sleep, work, and like work, and I have to fill your time. And then, you know, there's like movies and you have your phone and stuff, but
right.
it's not like you can't always be on it. You gotta be awake, you gotta sleep, you gotta eat. But out there, you know, I really started to work out, and then it's just stuck with me from there since I've gotten out of the military.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, that's a good habit. I mean, I heard somebody at school say, you know, if there's any cure-alls in medicine, actually is Dr. Michael Robinson, shout out if you're listening. He said, if there's any cure-alls in medicine, it's sleep and exercise. And I would add water to that too. Like anything that's just going to help people dramatically make a big difference, it's get enough sleep, 7 to 9 hours, ideally. Exercise, at least 20 to 30 minutes, ideally, you know, yeah. 5-6 days a week, ideally. I mean, as much as you can.
Yeah.
But start slow, and then hydrate. A lot of people are very dehydrated. You gotta drink at least a 0.5 ounce per pound of your body weight. So if you weigh 200 pounds, drink 100 ounces minimum. And if you're working out, you drink more. If you drink coffee, you drink even more.
Yeah.
So it.
And yeah. It, yeah. And that's super important. And I feel like people overlook that super easily because, you know, people don't like the taste of water or,
right.
you know.
I got to pee more often. It's like, yeah. Yeah. You do. I go to the bathroom every 30, 45 minutes. But guess what?
Yeah. You're hydrated.
I'm very hydrated. I drink. You know, I've done water fasts up to 14 days with water only.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've drank 2 to 3 gallons on those water fasts. A lot of Himalayan pink salt for electrolytes. And I've never felt better, man. Physically, mentally,
yeah,
spiritually. I mean, I could have, on day 14, I could have kept going.
Yeah, that's crazy. I want to try something like that, but I don't know if I have the willpower to not eat. I'm just, at heart, I'm a fat ass, you know? So, yeah. like I need, like, me if too, I get man. Hungry, it could be like I could be doing so good, and then I'll be like, man, you know what? Fuck this. I'm going to eat. And I'll just pop something in the microwave. I just can't help it.
You me know? Too. Does that usually happen at night for you? Like later at night?
For sure. I'll be like gaming or something after, like, I'm chilling. I've smoked. I'm just playing video games. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to make like 5 like chicken sandwiches and just fucking video game and eat them. Like, eat them till like 4 in the morning and then just pass out, wake up, you know, do it again, whatever.
I love it.
Especially with the quarantine and everything going down. Like, I have like no motivation to work out at my house. So I just can get kind of fat, but, you know, we'll see how that goes.
I think it's a lot of us, man. It's been tough. I've been working out as much as I can, but it's been hard, man. It's just not the same. I miss going to the sauna after the gym, like, and hitting the sauna, and then I hit the cold shower right after. You ever do that contrast?
No, I have not. I don't like showering in the gym, to be honest. It's so gross.
Yeah, man. I mean, if you want to wear flip-flops, that's recommended.
Always wear flip-flops. Don't use gym showers without flip-flops. Yeah. That's just gross.
And then, but after your sauna, you go right into the cold shower for 30 seconds, even up to a minute if you can tolerate.
Is this prior to the workout or
no, after, post? At the end.
Okay.
Sauna for 10, 15, whatever, 20 minutes, and then hit the cold shower. I'm telling you, man. It's a shock, but it has a lot of benefits. Hydrotherapy. We do that type of a hot-cold contrast.
Yeah.
In our school, constitutional hydrotherapy. And it's really, really powerful. It really boosts your immune system big time, brings a lot of blood flow to the internal organs. I mean,
that's sick.
Yeah. It's great. It's a nice balancing of the nervous system.
I've heard that like sauna use in general is like linked to a lot of like health benefits.
Yep.
I don't know. Like, I've heard like nail growth, hair growth, like skin, like natural, like, you know.
Yep.
Like stuff like that. Yeah, I don't know how true that is. You might know more than
me. Yeah, this hair, skin, I mean, so many benefits. Mitochondrial increase of number of mitochondria in your body, which are the, you know, powerhouse of your cell that make the ATP. You know, that you want your mitochondria to be functioning well. And so using a sauna regularly also has benefits for your cardiovascular system. You know, it's like gets your blood pumping, your heart, you know, you feel your heart really beating when you're in there for a little bit. And that's all, you know, a lot of good. It activates heat shock proteins, which have a bunch of different benefits that when your body gets heated up, like kind of why you have a fever when you're sick, like your body gets heated up, to all these genes turn on that are beneficial. I mean, it's amazing what just being in, you know, hyperthermia, heating up your body temperature, what it does for you. It's incredible.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Blood's getting down to the end.
Oh, yeah. It's...
To the stingers, as Wiz Khalifa would say.
Ooh, it's hot.
So yeah, man, tell me what you did specifically in the Marines and how that all, tell me some more about that.
I was just like a engineer, like a electrical engineer. So I like fixed like generators and stuff, and like helped with trucks, stuff like that. You know, basic stuff. Mm-hmm. And then like every Marine is like a rifleman, they say. Mm-hmm. So we did stuff like that. Like on deployment, we did like ADR or like airfield damage repair, which is like fixing airfields. Mm. And then like I went on like security missions. So like the heavy equipment guys were like expanding the base out there. Mm-hmm. And then we like sit on the gun and like watch, overwatch. But other than that, man, you know, like we took IDF a few times, which is just indirect fire. That was on base. That's, you know, you hear the siren go off and you run to the bunker. You know, you just kind of wait for it to be over.
Wow.
Yeah, but it's like a lot of people think it's super intense. But honestly, like it's not that crazy. I guess like it depends on your mindset, maybe, you know.
Right.
If you're like kind of like expect it to happen, you're like waiting when it does happen instead of like freaking out. Maybe you're like, all right, like I've been waiting for this. Like even though it's like rare nowadays for like attacks, like stuff like that to happen, especially in some areas, like it happens occasionally. But like it's depending on like your mindset, it's like a really just kind of like cool, like interesting experience, you know. It's like a once in a lifetime type of experience. Like you're like, oh wow, like holy shit, this is crazy. We're taking like, you know, rockets or mortars or whatever the enemy or the you know, the terrorists or whoever it may be, ISIS, right?
Taliban, right, right.
Who the hell knows out there? There's right. So many fucking groups. Yep. But like, you know, it's just one of those experiences. So it's not like scary. I'm rambling on about it.
Yeah. No, that's. I'm just wondering, like, what is your mindset? Like, what's your mindset going into it? Like, what made you join
the Marines?
Yeah.
I don't know. Originally, I was going to go to school to be an architect after high school.
Oh, cool.
And then, like, my sophomore year, like, my buddy Dan was like, oh, you should join the Marines, man. Have you ever thought about it? I was like, no, man, you're crazy. Like, fuck that. That's stupid. I'm not doing that shit. I'm not going to die. That's dumb. And then I saw, like, as cheesy as it sounds, it's like a Marine commercial, right?
Yeah.
And I remember I saw it and I got like chills. Mm. So, hey, if anyone in the Marines sees this, fucking those commercials work, dude.
Yeah.
You hook us.
Yeah.
But yeah, I saw one of the commercials, dude, and I was like, oh, man. Maybe it was like, because I was kind of like, not bullied in high school, but I had, you know, I got in like arguments and, you know, whatever. I wasn't like a popular kid either. You know, I had my friends, and they're my best friends, you know. But like, you know,
I feel you, bro.
And so maybe I was trying to prove something, but I just wanted to also like help people. And, you know, now that's why I'm going to school to be a firefighter.
Uh-huh.
And I want to be a paramedic because I, you know, ultimately I believe in, you know, spreading love and understanding, and like I want to help people. And, you know, being a firefighter, I think I can really, you know, I can help people in a lot of ways.
Definitely. So, and a paramedic, especially.
Yeah. And I couldn't be a cop. I just don't think I have the balls, to be honest. Like, hey, with everything going on now, that's
yeah.
I would not want to be a cop, you know.
That's a those crazy guys, time.
So, you know, I know there's some fucked up cops out there, whatever, but you can't group everyone together. There's some good cops out there, too.
Right.
So you can't, you know, you got to respect them, dude. I'm sure those guys are scared shitless, too, with everything going around.
Definitely.
I mean.
Yeah, I know some family that are cops, and they're great guys. And
yeah, you know.
It's...
But with all this going on, I think. Well, this is a weird segue, but with all this going on, I think the protesters are completely in the right, you know.
Uh-huh.
I think a change has to happen also.
Right. Yeah. A change, you know, I saw that. I showed you that meme that said that when Martin Luther King got assassinated, 110 cities rioted in America and caused $47 million in damage. And then on the sixth day of rioting, the Civil Rights Act of 1968 was passed. Like, that's
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, that's pretty interesting. I mean, you know, he said that rioting is a language of the unheard. So it's like, when it gets to that point, but it's crazy. It's really crazy.
And it's crazy. It's crazy to think it's been how many days has it been of like the rioting? Like 7? I think it's been a week, or has it been 8 days now? So like, you know, I wonder how long is it going to go? Is it going to go until like the National Guard gets sent in and people are, you know, martial law is declared, or is it going to go until, you know, something's enacted? Like, what exactly do the protesters want? Like, what laws do they want? Do they want police reform? Is that what they want? Do they
that's a big part of it.
Do they want more like civil rights laws? Like, I don't, you know, I just don't know. Yeah. I haven't heard like what are the protests for? Like, I understand what they're for, you know, like the police brutality, but like what do they want to cut? What do they want to get out of all the protests? You know,
that's like, a good question.
That's what I just want to know what's going to come out of it all. Honestly, I'm super interested to see what happens, if anything happens, if nothing happens.
Yeah,
you know, because who's to say?
I think you know, we can all take our individual part and however we want to participate in, you know, helping for the injustice, whatever that means to you, and you know, donating or calling people or talking, reaching out to your different friends of, you know, that are affected. It's many ways to be able to help, but it's a wild time for a lot of people. I really feel for a lot of you know, people of color out there right now. It's easy to be angry, I could see for sure.
Yeah.
You know, we could never imagine being, you know, white males, and you know, I'd say privileged in a lot of ways, and that we're very blessed, and you know, I recognize that a lot of people have like the complete opposite. We have never even like seen a lot of these, you know.
Yeah. I don't even have anything comparable.
Right.
Like the worst thing I ever went through was like, you know, I grew up in an Islamic home, and mm-hmm. I went to war in like Iraq, and Marines in general, you know, like, you know, people assume like, you know, Muslim terrorists. That's like the stereotype, right? That's like the association. So like when people found out I was Muslim, they're like, oh wow, you're in the Marines, and like that's super cool, and like. Like, and some people, you know, but some people were like, oh no, like didn't want to affiliate with me because they thought, you know, something weird, but you know, hey, that's your business. But like, that's nothing compared to like, you know, what, you know, people like the African American people are facing or have faced, you know, I can never know.
Right.
You know, so they're justified, you know, in their protests, but you know, I feel like destroying like the communities, you know, like if you're going to go after something, like, why are you going after your own community buildings? Like, you know, you're just destroying like your own place. Like, if you're gonna target something that makes sense, I guess. Like,
yeah.
You know.
Like, yeah, like other types of buildings.
Yeah.
We don't want to condone any type of violence, but you know, I think you know what we're saying.
Yeah, I'm also a big believer that like, you know, if you want the best results, like you got to spread it through like peace and love.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess I can't understand, because like we were talking before, like I don't know the anger that they feel, you know, that, you know, the African American people feel. Like I don't know it.
Right.
Because I don't like when I see a cop pull up behind me, if I'm getting pulled over, I'm not like, oh fuck, I'm scared for my life. I'm like, oh fuck, I'm gonna get a ticket. You know, yeah. I don't think I've ever feared for my life, you know?
Right. No, for sure. And I mean, I was telling you the stories of the different times I've gotten off, and I've been pulled over, and I just had smoked, I'm, you know, admitting this, and the car definitely smelled, and the cop for sure could smell it, and they didn't do anything about it. I didn't even get a ticket one time. He just didn't even, he said, slow down. So it's like, if I was a different skin color, I don't know how that would have ended.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate.
And
that's
you'll never know though either. You know, I'll never know. That's
So we got to recognize that, but you know, it's definitely like a more systemic problem. It's like, okay, I'm not racist, you're not racist, but like the whole system is having, you know, deeper issues that are, you know, I can't even imagine. So
you know a fact that my friend was talking to was telling me about yesterday. He said that interracial marriage wasn't legal in the United States until like 1963 or something. I don't think that's the exact year, but like, that's not too far back, which is insane. But you never like really think about that.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really not that far back.
No. And so like, and then like most people, I feel like think like, oh, what, like what racism, like what's going on, like, and yeah, like obviously, like you can't, it's not like legal to be like, I mean, you know, you can't be like segregated from a job for right. skin color. You're not supposed to be, at least. I mean, right. if someone's racist, who's hiring? Like that piece of shit's gonna be a piece of shit. Like that's just the way it goes.
Right.
But like, you know, I'm getting out of track. If you want to finish a sentence here for me, man, you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
My point is not getting put across by myself.
I now I don't remember what you're talking about. Oh shit. Short-term memory.
Yeah.
No, for real, what was the topic?
We were talking about I don't remember either, man. Oh my goodness.
Put the mic closer to your mouth, like,
oh man,
like, so you talk, like, look, see how I'm like 4 or 5 inches away from,
yeah,
the front?
Like right here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you see the difference?
Yeah.
There you go. Nice, bro. It's been 30 minutes. We're rocking and rolling.
Oh, great, great.
Yeah. How you feeling?
Oh, I'm pretty fucked up, man. I'm pretty good.
Yeah, me and Tony met at Ramadan's bachelor party at the cabin house, and we were not sober for a single moment.
No, we were not, man. That was a good weekend. That was fun. Volleyball was getting intense, dude.
I played some of the most intense volleyball games I've ever played in my life.
Oh, man.
Microdosed LSD, just a couple drops. So one drop was 10 micrograms of LSD. So 10 drops would be like a full dose.
Yeah.
And I took, I couldn't even tell you, but, and this gentleman also, and we went out on the pontoon boats and almost sunk those out on the water on the lake there. Yeah, that was... People were drinking. People were smoking. It was...
There was way too many people on those boats.
Yeah.
And the water wasn't even that deep.
No.
There was, like, points you're saying that were, like knee high.
The water was, yeah. like... The boat was literally like this in the water. And it was...
Oh, man. That's great.
That was funny. We had a good time there. I was adjusting everybody. Their neck.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You were
adjusting. Standing adjustment. And
yeah. That was a good time. I forgot about that. Oh, man. The last time I was here, we did the acupuncture thing.
Yes.
And that was super interesting. That was super cool.
Yeah. Yeah, acupuncture is really cool. I love it. I just have the 100-hour certificate, but I was this close to doing the master's program, but I was just like, I just can't handle more school right now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's just basically we have energy meridians, you know, channels running through our body, you know, for different, like, organ systems. And putting in needles in certain points affects the flow of that energy in a nutshell. And that might sound like woo-woo to some people, but, you know, it's a different way of looking at reality. It's not Newtonian physics. It's more of like quantum physics where, like, everything is energy ultimately. And, you know, we have different ways to affect that energy. Acupuncture is one of them, you know, with needles. Homeopathy is another form of medicine. I just heard on a vital conversation today by Naturopathic Medicine Institute that homeopathy is the second most used form of medicine in the world.
What is homeopathy?
Homeopathy is a form of medicine. Basically, the basis of it is like cures like. So this doctor on this call used this analogy of like a magnet. So, like, you know, when you put a positive and a negative together, what happens? They go together, yeah. Right? But when you put a positive and a positive together, what happens?
They push away.
They push away. So two of the same can't be together. Like cures like. So if you give this homeopathic remedy of, like, either a plant or a mineral, or it could be even an animal, like, really diluted down dose of this thing, and that the symptoms of that match the symptoms that you have, those two like energies kind of cancel each other out, and your body's like self-healing kind of mechanism comes out and kind of heals itself.
Okay.
So it's energy medicine in a nutshell. Yeah. It's very that was, you know, very basic high level explanation of it. It goes very deep. We could talk about it for hours.
I'm sure
it's really interesting. It's really super interesting. But yeah, it's the second most used form of medicine in the world. Like 500 million people around the world use it.
Oh, wow.
It's just not that popular here in the U.S.
Yeah.
So, I mean, because it's cheap. Like one little vial of the pellets is like $8.
Okay.
And, you know, and yeah. that's...
And one little vial of anything else here is like $400.
Right.
For like, you know, simple medication.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
I know, man. It's a crazy system we have here in the United States.
Yeah.
We're the only industrialized country without universal health care.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's an unfortunate thing because like America is a great country and it's awesome and I'm proud. I've been born here and raised here my whole life, but there's a lot of things about it that I'm just like, you know, we're so great, but in this area we're like ranked number like 37 in health care in the world.
Yeah. That's insane, you know. Yeah. But like there's only like so much, you know, that change is like such a hard one to push, you know.
Yeah.
Because that is like such a split view in this country, in you know, in the United States. You know, so many people are on the side of like, you know, universal health care, and so many people are on the side of not, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I mean, I get it. You see the downsides of the, you know, socialist or universal whatever type way, but like,
yeah,
I don't know. It's a different way of living.
That two-party view, you know, that crazy left, crazy right view, just so much hate between it that there could never be like an agreement. You know, it's just insane.
Yeah.
The two-party system is a horrible system.
Right.
I do not support the two-party political system in any way. It's a shit. It's so bad. It's so bad. People don't even vote based on facts. They just vote
for on party.
What they identify with. Because apparently your political party is part of your personality now. Who knew? I didn't.
What's the better alternative to that? Like
I don't know. That, you know, I just... A no party system? You know, I don't know. It's just an individual. Like
multiple parties?
Like multiple parties.
I'm like, not sure either. I don't know that
not
much.
Not claiming any party, just... Yeah. You run with your name. Your name is your party. I don't know.
Right.
But I mean, people would still find a way. Now that idea is out there, though, you can't kill an idea, you know? So people are going to identify with people that, you know, they're going to assume that identity without having, you know, like a Democratic or a conservative identity. You know, you get what I'm saying?
Right. That's like, what you're saying. You can't kill an idea. Yeah. You were saying that earlier about terrorism. You can't kill like, terrorism.
Yeah. So like, let's say there's no parties, you know, and then like someone like Joe Biden runs, like people are going to know he was previously a Democrat. They'll be able to tell with his ideals, you know, and they'll be like, oh, he's a new Democrat.
Right.
Even though they're, so.
Right.
It's fucked. Our government is fucked, but that's fine. Whatever, I guess.
Yeah. That's the beauty of freedom of speech, you know, that in some countries you couldn't even say that.
Yeah.
You'd be in big trouble, but we can say that here and express our opinions and thoughts.
Yeah, I love America, you know. I joined the military because I'm a patriot. Like, I'm, you know, I want things to get better, but, you know, I'm not the man for that, sadly. I'm not smart enough to, you know, be on a political agenda.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why I'm going to help the way I know I can, you know, being a firefighter, paramedic.
Yeah. One person at a time, man, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
That ripple effect, you know, the butterfly effect.
Yeah, change it from the inside. You got to have good people in if you want good things to come out.
Right.
So,
yep.
You know, I probably should talk shit about our government, you know, if I want it to be better, but
you
know, it is what it is, I guess.
We're just, you know.
Everything could use work, so it is.
Right. Constructive criticism, and we're just a little upset.
Yeah.
All of us are a little upset right now. I definitely feel locked in, you know, these last few months.
Yeah.
It's been a little bit, I think, overboard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Where'd Corona go since all the rioting and protests happened?
Yeah.
Is that... Are we done with Corona season?
Yeah, here we are. It's January 3rd, 2020, and last few days there has not been much Corona news at all.
I haven't heard anything.
If any. So it's interesting how all of a sudden there's thousands of people gathering.
Yeah.
You know, in the close areas. And
what did you see on the news? What's that social media agenda now? It is the protesting, the George Floyd killing, all that stuff. Yeah. You know, it's just, I think media needs to be reformed as much as I think police training does.
Media, you know, mainstream media has been unfortunately to blame for a lot of our issues. They spin things. They're owned by, unfortunately, a few, you know, corporations, and a few people own those. And, you know, you get down to that conspiracy rabbit hole real quick. But those are the facts.
Yeah.
And, you know, and there's many more facts. But it's just a matter of, like, I lost my train of thought. It happens.
It's okay. It's okay. It happens, man. It happens to the best of us.
This is Gorilla Glue number 4. It's a nice hybrid. What was I just talking about? Do you remember?
You're talking about, like, going down the conspiracy rabbit hole.
Yeah.
With
That's the last thing I said, but what was it before that?
Like with the media, going down the conspiracy rabbit hole.
Mainstream media. So here's why.
And, like, they're controlled by smaller groups and smaller.
Smaller, less and less people. But yeah, mainstream media, you know, there's better and other more popular forms of media now, such as podcasts. Joe Rogan,
yeah,
who just got a $100 million deal for his Spotify to move his podcast to Spotify, is getting $100 million.
That's insane.
Yeah. And he has the number one podcast in the world. He gets 190 million downloads a month.
That's insane.
Yeah. So he has by far the biggest, like, media source in the entire world.
Yeah.
Like, that's... CNN, like, during even the elections, gets like 10 million viewers in a week or something like that. He gets 190 million.
That's insane.
So, yeah, those numbers are insane. And the big thing about it is it's not biased. Like, he can say whatever he wants. He can have on there whoever he wants.
Yeah.
Like, he has nobody, you know, telling him what to say, what to...
Yeah, because it's his podcast.
Right. There's no network above him.
Do you think that the Spotify deal is going to affect that in any way?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
You know, if it does, he's not going to say shit, you know.
Yeah. Whatever. We'll see. I mean, he obviously has ads for stuff. He's obviously making money, but...
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure he's a pretty straight-up dude. But.
Yeah, I like him.
I like him, too. I think he's super interesting. I've seen a few of the podcasts, and I think they're really good. They're interesting, you know.
He's one of my biggest inspirations, honestly. He's the first podcast I think I ever listened to back, like, 5 years ago in California. About Bitcoin, and Andreas Antonopoulos, I think his name was, and really great podcast, blew my mind. It was like 3 hours, and I'm like, holy shit, I can't believe I just listened to this. It was long and but full of quality, you know.
Yeah,
that's why I like podcasts. They go, like, in depth on topics.
Yeah.
So that was, you know, that's
definitely
one of
way less biased than, like, mainstream media sources, like,
right,
you know, TV news, CNN, Fox.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I, you know, I like Joe Rogan podcast a lot. I like Aubrey Marcus podcast a lot. Tim Ferriss podcast. A bunch of other ones. Better Wetter. Bunch of other ones for sure. You listen to podcasts much?
No, I've listened to, like, a few of the Joe Rogan ones, but, like, otherwise I don't really honestly watch much of anything. Like, you know, I'll just pop on Netflix and pass out, play video games.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like to read. So, you know, you gave me 2 books.
Yeah.
So I've been reading the one about the ayahuasca. I've read that for, like, a few chapters. That's really interesting. Mm-hmm. I really want to read the smoke signals. So I don't know if I'm going to stop reading the one about ayahuasca. And, like,
try to read them both. They're different. Yeah. They're different. Yeah. They're written differently. They're different, you know, looking at different parts of it. Yeah, I met the author of that. Spirit of Ayahuasca, I forgot what it's called. Rachel Harris, I
think. Oh, that's super cool.
Yeah, that's at the psychedelic conference I went to in Madison. And she, it was really cool. She's done a lot of the work herself down in the, like, Amazon jungle.
Yeah, that's sick. That's super cool.
Yeah, and really I think you'd like it a lot.
Yeah, you've met some super, super interesting, cool people because of, like, the path you're taking, right? Like, mm-hmm. You know, because you're going to holistic medicine.
Mm-hmm.
So that's super cool.
Yeah. No, I've met a lot of different people in a lot of different, you know, areas of, you know, medicine, natural healing, alternative health, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
I'm naturopathic medicine. I'll be a naturopathic doctor.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'll be an ND, and that's really focusing on, you know, root cause. What's really making you, you know, what's at the root of your issues, using natural substances when we need to, but a lot of it's like the basics, your diet, your sleep, your exercise, your your mental, emotional is such a big part of things, you know?
Yeah.
How much your thoughts affect your physical body. And yeah, I've met a lot of cool people. I was making a list for this podcast of a lot of cool people I'd love to have on here.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'm sure you have a cool, like a long list, you know?
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah, man. I'm excited. I want to get out to California here shortly is the goal. And then really start expanding the network. And I really need to be by the ocean. I really like the sunshine and, you know, all the vibes and
everything. The vibe in California is super, like, you know, super chill. Like, that's the place you want to be.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I know it's expensive, but there's a reason. You know?
Yeah,
you
that's very true.
You
kind of
get what you pay for.
Yeah, that's very true. That's the same. So,
yeah,
you know. You know, it all comes down to, like, if it, like, being there is going to make you happy, then it's worth it. You know, that's with anything, you know. If it makes you happy, you know, as long as it's not hurting you or someone else, do it. You know, why not? Fuck it.
Exactly. Your top three places also, you said, were Colorado, Arizona, or Cali?
Yeah.
That you want to be?
Yeah, I do not want to be in Illinois.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd like to live in Colorado, I think, mainly. It's just so beautiful, you know.
Mountains,
trees, you know, hiking, outdoors. That's just...
Yep.
I drove through there on my way from here, driving to Cali, and it was just, like, the most beautiful state I've ever seen. So, like, that sold me. I was like, wow, this place is awesome.
Yeah. And they just... you know, those two states, Colorado and California, they just, like, decriminalized, like, had a lower priority on the law enforcement of all the natural psychedelics.
Yeah.
In Denver, it was only psilocybin mushrooms. But then in Oakland and Santa Cruz, they decriminalized or made it, you know, low priority for all natural psychedelics. So mushrooms, ayahuasca, iboga.
Yeah.
Peyote cactus.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Like, stuff's moving, man. People couldn't have imagined, like, even, like, the hippies and whatever back in the day, you know, 20, 30 years of smoking, 40 years even, like, they couldn't have imagined weed being this, you know, cannabis being this far at this point. Like,
it's, how many states is it legal in now? Do you know?
I think there's 33 or something like that, medical, and then, like, 10 recreational, or 11.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Or more than that. I haven't been keeping up that much. Yeah,
it's growing. I didn't even know it was that many. I thought it was like 5 recreational, to be honest.
Yeah, no.
I don't keep up on it.
We can go through it right now. Let's see if I can get them all. Cali, Alaska, Washington, Oregon, Colorado. That's 5 already.
Yeah.
Illinois, 6. Nevada, 7.
Michigan.
Michigan, 8. Maine, 9. There's other ones on the East Coast I don't know that well. New Hampshire might be 10. I'm not sure. See,
I'm not too sure either, man.
Yeah, I'm a little...
New York? No.
Easy there. No, they're not met recreational yet.
I'm surprised.
Yeah.
I thought New York was super liberal.
Well, no? Yeah, they've got interesting things, I think, with their governments, just like with... California can be very liberal, but then there's some very conservative people there too.
Yeah, that's very true.
You know,
yeah,
like there's like 35 million people in that state. I mean,
yeah, there's bound to be different of opinions.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, man. So, what else is in your, like, your passions, your hobbies? What do you do for fun? What do you want to do in the future? You know.
Well, I'm super into lifting, so. You know, I'm waiting for the gyms to open back up so I can start working out again because I'm dying.
How's that been going at home, lifting? Are you?
I do, like, push-ups, and I have, like, a 30-pound weight, so that's all I have. But honestly, after, like, 4 weeks, I just, like, lost all motivation, so I've been doing, like, little things here and there. But honestly, I've just been getting fat as fuck. So, like, whatever, I guess.
I understand.
I just figure more fat to turn into muscle when the gym's open, whatever.
I understand totally.
Yeah.
I've been eating a ton. I eat pretty good all day. I eat real good. I make a really good smoothie. I intermittent fast to, like, 12 or 1.
Yeah,
and
that's super good.
I make a really awesome smoothie with, like, 25 ingredients in it. And then I eat dinner at, like, 6, 7, 8. And then, you know, but then that's when I go downhill after that. I'll eat a dessert.
Yeah.
I'll eat, you know, another meal sometimes if I stay up late enough. Like, it's, I could definitely win some eating competitions.
Yeah, man.
I feel like we could do some damage together.
I've been putting in some work, dude. I've been eating like a dumpster. I'll be up at like 3 a.m. and like check the pantry and see like a whole rack of Oreos and just eat the whole thing, like a family size of double stuff.
Fuck, man.
Yeah, and then I'll be like hungry and make like 2 chicken sandwiches and eat those.
You're savage, bro.
Yeah, I just eat and then I wake up in the morning and my stomach is so upset, like unbearable. And then I just like get on the toilet and I just shit my brains out for like 45 minutes in the morning. I'm like, wow, I'm not doing this again. And then like 10 hours go by and I'm off work and I'm high as fuck and I do it again.
Yeah. You know what helps sometimes when you feel shitty like that? Just take like a hit or two.
Really?
And then it helps like balance out everything. Oh, yeah. There's a ton of cannabinoid receptors in your GI, and cannabis helps a lot. I know of a lot of people with IBS and they take a couple hits, you know, and all of a sudden everything's calmed down. You can digest better. It's really interesting. It kind of helps relax the smooth muscle of the digestive system.
That's really interesting. That's really cool. I know that.
Mm-hmm. Helps a ton of people with IBS, with Crohn's disease. It helps people like drastically.
Yeah, weed in general is so interesting because like how much it helps like medically, you know, there's so many things, like the list, it's like a laundry list of things.
Oh, it's, I mean, you know? Once you understand how connected our endocannabinoid system is to every other physiological system in our body, like your nervous system, your immune system, your GI, your endocrine system, like all of these things have huge influence from endocannabinoid system. So when you modulate that with phytocannabinoids like cannabis, like CBD oil, like stuff like that, I mean, you could get help with epilepsy for little kids, as we've seen.
Yeah,
totally takes away most of their seizures. I mean, that's unbelievable.
Yeah,
no other pharmaceutical could help.
Yeah,
you can't deny that.
It helps with, like, I've heard, like, autism, like, you know, like, they use like THC oil and like mm-hmm. and, like, it's supposed to help, like, you know, calm kids with, like, you know, severe autism down, like.
Yep.
So it's like, it's the, like, you, like, the application is like insane.
Yeah, and neurological stuff like that, autism, epilepsy, Parkinson's disease. Have you seen the video of the guy that's like shaking like this? They give him a little oil. Literally 3 minutes later, he's just chill.
Yeah.
I mean, right in front of your eyes, you know? And then for sleep, it's amazing. For chronic pain, unbelievable. Way better than all the opioids that people take, and they're very effective. Even anxiety, CBD helps a lot with, you know, a lot of people have anxiety during these times for sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, people were asking me a lot at school just recently about dose. So definitely with CBD, I'd say you could start, you know, it's very safe. So you could start 5-10 milligrams, even up to 15 milligrams of CBD. But you want to, you know, work your way up because everybody's body and biochemistry is a little bit different. So you want to kind of experiment, see where you're at. But the worst thing that could happen, any side effect, is just like a little drowsiness where you're almost like too calm, you know?
Yeah.
And that's about it. But you could try it at night if your first time, if you really want to be safe. But I mean, highly recommend, you know, for chronic pain, it can get up there in dose, even 50, 60 milligrams. But for like anxiety, you know, 23 milligrams, I've seen it help kind of chill and calm me out quite a bit.
Yeah, I've never used the CBD a whole bunch, but I've heard like mixed reviews, you know. Some people say it really works, some people say it doesn't, you know. But like placebo, like you were saying earlier, you know, placebo is 50%, you know. So even if it like may not work, it works, you know. And maybe it does work. You never know.
Well, and there is a chance that they're using, you know, bad quality oil.
Yeah.
There's a lot of shit out there, like in gas stations and like in video stores and like...
Yeah.
Online, you don't know what the hell you're getting sometimes. Like, you have to really make sure that the manufacturer has a third party, like, tested independent lab verification of all the cannabinoid content of the material that you're buying, and, you know, tested for mold and contaminants and all that stuff, ideally. So you're buying, you know, really clean stuff, ideally organic if you can.
Yeah.
And you want to make sure it's high quality because, you know, it's expensive and you're spending good money on it. You might as well make sure it's good. And it makes a difference. When you have quality stuff, you feel the effect, you feel the changes in your body. It helps regulate your HPA access, you know, hypothalamus, pituitary, adrenal access. which is like all throughout your body, just, you know, regulating your hormones and your energy and so many different things, your mood and your sleep and all of these things in your body. So if one thing can help with all of that, it's kind of like,
yeah,
that's why this has exploded so much. There's a lot of hype around it. People make fun of it, like, oh, CBD and your laundry detergent and like whatever. It's like,
yeah,
you know, sure. Like CBD and like a sparkling water, 10 milligrams. Like how much of that are you going to feel? I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, there's people taking advantage. It's definitely been hyped, but there's a lot to the endocannabinoid system. And there's many ways to modulate that too. It's through diet, through exercise, through acupuncture even does that. You know, when you get done with acupuncture, you almost feel like you're a little bit high.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. It's like, huh.
Yeah.
Getting that energy flowing.
It's interesting to see, like, how many different ways, like, the body can be affected by, like, you know, so, like, so many, like, little things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a shame that so many people, you know, mostly go to like Western medicine immediately. You know, they don't like to give, you know, like a holistic, like, option, like a you know, like a chance.
Yeah, yeah.
But I guess that's just because you know, you gotta like spread the knowledge. Like that's a lot of that is just like, you know, getting people to like understand and learn more about it.
Right.
You know, and actually give it a shot.
It's about education, yeah.
Yeah.
And they don't
exactly, education.
They don't hear about it too much. That, especially here in the Midwest, it's not super common. You go out on the West Coast or the East Coast, a lot of people know what naturopathic doctors are.
Yeah.
A lot of people, that's the only doctor they see. And they only need to see another doctor if something goes wrong or an emergency, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Like really allopathic, you know, conventional medicine, what most medical schools teach is like very useful in certain times, like emergency medicine and trauma. And like I break my leg, you know, I said it before, like take me to the hospital, you know, I don't want to mess around with like some herbs.
Yeah.
But like, you know, you have a chronic disease like diabetes or something, I'm not sure that the system is gonna you know, diabetes is a great example. It's a lifestyle disease, mostly type 2 diabetes.
Yeah.
That can be reversed with proper lifestyle and diet and stuff, but like the conventional system is not going to tell you that. They're going to say you need to take this pill for the rest of your life. You'd be our customer now forever.
Yeah.
It's a better business model, you know?
Yeah.
There's not a lot of money in curing, using the C word.
Yeah.
So it's sad to think about it that way, but fortunately that's the way it is. There's a lot of money involved in medicine.
Yeah, and it's crazy to think if you go down, like, you know, the... If you're on fucking train of thought, man. If you go down like the what's the word I'm looking for?
What? Rabbit hole?
Yeah, if you're on the there we go. If you're on the rabbit hole, you know, there's all these conspiracies.
Yeah.
Wow, thank you. Holy fuck, that was horrible. There's all these conspiracies, you know, that like, you know, maybe there is a cure for AIDS or cancer and like
Right. They're
just not out there because a better business model is, you know, just forever selling these horrible drugs to people, you know, at overpriced, you know, overheads.
I'm no, you know, expert in cancer, but I can tell you this, the cancer drug industry, chemo, radiation, a lot of those things, the drugs is $200 billion. So yeah. If you have cures for things, you're losing a lot of money there.
Yeah.
It's a terrible way to look at it, but unfortunately pharmaceutical companies, you know, insurance companies, they run the game.
Yeah.
Here in the country, and
it's a shame.
It's a wild, I don't know if you've heard this stat, we're 5% of the world's population. We consume 50% of the world's pharmaceuticals.
Really?
Yeah, in the US.
That's crazy. I did not know that.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And we're one of the only countries, or one of three countries, where you can advertise directly to consumers, the pharmaceuticals.
Really?
Like, yeah, like commercials, yeah. You know, pharma ads. Us, New Zealand, and Brazil.
That's
otherwise crazy. It's only to doctors. Doesn't that make sense?
That's corporations. It's corporations run everything, man. You know, they truly do.
If anybody hasn't watched the movie The Matrix, it's on Netflix right now. Highly recommend it. The blue pill and the red pill right now is a better analogy. There's no better analogy of like what's going on.
Yeah.
Kind of either waking up to the realities of all the stuff going on, or you just kind of put your head further in the sand, unfortunately. You know, no offense to anybody, but there's a lot of information out there. You just got to do the research and connect the dots a little bit yourself. You know, it's about critical thinking.
Not
believing any one source, but putting it together.
Yeah, and even if you disagree with what the facts you find bring up, you have to be able to be, you know, mature enough to accept, like, okay, maybe I'm wrong, and not be like, oh, this is lies, you know? Because I feel like so many people are so stuck with what they identify with, like whether they believe in this or that, that even if someone presents them with facts, you know, that, you know, should sway them the other way, they just, instead, they just refute it and are like, no, you're stupid, you're wrong, like, that's bullshit. And they just, and then they just stick to their own ways. And I think that's a big issue.
Yeah.
With a lot of things.
Well, exactly. And I think that's a, why psychedelics can be a powerful tool to open people's minds to be like, oh, wow, shit. You know, and I was just going to say, we're both Albanian in our family. You know, one example is being Albanian and, oh, this is the way Albanians do it.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times I've heard that in my life. That's how we do it. Well, why? What if you don't want to do it that way?
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to carry on a culture and a tradition if you don't agree with it.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
if you don't even know why you're doing it, some traditions and things, it's like,
you know, people grow up and form, you know, go to different places, different environments, and they grow their own ideas. And like, I know you have definitely had like issues because like your belief system is like not that of what like an Albanian person would be, nor is mine, you know.
Right. That's why we get along. We're like 10 years age difference, and we I think I was the oldest person at the bachelor party and he was the youngest, and I was like, this is perfect. But yeah, we just both say, you know, we really don't give a fuck what people think.
Yeah.
And that's the, you know, I'm doing me, you're doing you.
Yeah.
And you know, we know we have good intentions, like we know we're good people at the end of the
day. Exactly. You know, I'm an asshole, but, you know, I have good intentions most of the time.
Right.
You know, I come from a good place. So I have a question. Do you think do you think within our lifetime we'll see weed be federally legalized, you know, recreationally?
Oh, yeah, States? yeah, for sure.
You think so?
Oh, it's going to be in the next few years.
Oh, really?
Oh, but for sure. People were guessing. I went to this conference like 5 years ago in Vegas about cannabis. They were guessing like 2019, 2020. Some people said like 2022.
But like, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's insane.
But you know what is really insane is that MDMA, Molly, ecstasy, is being going through the FDA, you know, clinical trials. It's in phase 3 clinical trials right now for PTSD.
Really?
And yeah, and it's doing great in the trials. And they might have it legalized as a medicine to prescribe by like 2021.
That's insane.
Federally.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Or 2022 maybe, but like, so things are happening, man.
Yeah.
Here and in Europe, they made it a breakthrough drug status to be able to prescribe for, like, you know, and study it, even though it's Schedule 1 drug. Yep.
Oh, really?
That and psilocybin.
Really?
For depression.
That's crazy.
Yep.
The world's progressing, you know.
Big time.
I mean, hopefully more changes to come, you know, good change.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's exciting. I'm excited because this is just the beginning. It's just scratching the surface. Cannabis is just getting legalized, you know, in states, and federally it's not even legalized. I mean, when that happens, then the billions are going to come pouring in from all the different big corporations and industries, and it's just going to be you're going to see it like a Starbucks, like in every corner.
Yeah,
you'll see like a cannabis thing.
That's true.
And it's going to prices will fall to where it'll be like a dollar a gram.
Yeah.
If you think about
it, would be great.
Yeah,
hey.
Cannabis is super expensive right now.
Yeah.
In most places.
Yeah, like, compared to like tobacco, like, you know, like it's so much more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't wait for the day where I can like go to a gas station, get a pack of like Marlboro weed, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be great. That'd
even
be
now sick. At the smoke shop, you can go and they sell it looks like a cigarette pack and they look like cigarettes and it's just hemp.
Really?
So it's CBD and below 0.3% THC, so you don't get high.
Really?
But it's like, it's weed, you know, it's cannabis. But have you ever smoked one of those?
No.
Oh,
that's,
man.
Awesome.
It's really great. They have some cool ones.
Where can you get those? That's sick.
You can even buy them online. There's a company that ships them out of Oregon, Rogue Origin. I use those. They're pretty nice.
That's super sick.
Yep.
That's cool.
And then, yeah, go to your local smoke shop. I guarantee you they'll have CBD. If it's a big enough smoke shop and they're up to date with stuff, they'll have CBD flower that you can smoke, like either that you can grind up or even just already made into pre-rolls.
Oh, really?
It's great.
That's insane.
It's really, really nice. Cool. And what's really cool is if you mix that with the THC cannabis and those together, the way they go, that's how they are naturally in nature, like a blend of the two.
Yeah.
You know, there's more synergy together. They work better together. It's like an entourage effect. It's really awesome.
Oh, really?
It's very interesting.
So the CBD complements the THC?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it makes it so that the effects of THC aren't too high. Mm-hmm. You're not like paranoid or anxious or whatever. Yeah. But it doesn't like, you know, dampen the high. It doesn't like take it away.
Yeah.
But if you take enough CBD, it can definitely kind of like chill you out from if you're like too high.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's kind of like an antidote in a way.
That's super cool.
And a little bit, you know. Yeah. Depends. If you take like 100 milligram edible, it's going to be tough to take enough CBD for that. But
yeah,
edibles are a different train.
Crazy. I've eaten 10 milligram gummies before. So 100 milligrams.
Uh-huh.
I was flying, man. I was ripped. I was just like,
yeah,
the whole time.
Where were you at with those here?
Well, yeah, that was here, man. Nice. I was just in my room. I was playing video games. And then, like, all of a sudden, I was like, there's no fucking way, man.
What video game were you playing?
I was playing, like, Apex Legends with my friend. Apex Legends with my friends.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, hey, guys, like, I gotta go. I gotta go right now. And I just, like, put on Spotify and just, like, laid down in my bed. And I was just blasting music.
Oh, my God.
Oh yeah,
I love it. I haven't played video games in years, man.
Oh man, I love it. I love the way, like, you know, I'm a pretty competitive person. I think it's a good competitive outlet, especially if you got like a few good buddies, you know, and there's like a game you like, you can like really play and like get pretty aggressive, like not aggressive but like competitive with it and have like a good time, you know. Mm-hmm. I love video games. Great release, you know.
Release.
But it could also be like a rage inducing experience, you know.
Oh yeah,
for sure.
Like, so, online type of shit? Like, you get pissed about games?
If you got, like, a hair trigger like me, I get so mad with video games. So, I've learned to just, like, when I get super mad, just turn it off. Because I've broken TVs and stuff before. I'll admit it, you know.
Let's talk about your anger issues more, Tony.
Hey, whoa.
I'm kidding. No, we've all had our angry moments. I've broken shit in my life before. It's not good, but way to release that, you know.
Yeah, man, you know, that is like the worst feel. I hate being angry.
Yeah, me too.
And I've been angry for a long time, and that's why I think I like you know, cannabis so much, is because like it's like an immediate, I could be so mad, and if like I'm just like, it's like been something that like really pissed me off, if I smoke a little bit and I'm like, I'll chill out and even be like, you know what, I'm just gonna go apologize even if the other person was in the wrong, just so it could be done, because you know, it kind of puts me into like that like spiritual place where I just want to put out like a positivity, you know.
Right.
So I just like want to squash shit, you know.
Yeah.
No matter what it is, I just want to be over with and we can move on.
That's beautiful. And, you
know,
yeah.
Yeah. I think psychedelics do that too. They open you up to that ability to be capable to do that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They like just open you up to be able to take the facts and be like, all right, you know what, like, even because like even me still, I'm always at first like, oh, you're wrong, I'm right. But like as soon as like I chill out and I think about it for like even 3 minutes,
mm-hmm.
at this point in my life, you know, after, you know, smoking cannabis and like, you know, experimenting with like LSD and shrooms, mm-hmm. stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
like I have that ability to like very quickly afterwards be like, okay, I was probably wrong. Like, I should apologize.
That's good.
But I also have that ability to be like, okay, I was wrong, but they were also wrong, so we both need to apologize.
Sure.
And that has to be the compromise, you know.
Yeah.
But sure. I feel like I would have never gotten to that point without those experiences in my
mm-hmm.
life. I don't know if like you feel the same.
Well, I was just gonna ask you, what are your like, what have psychedelics and cannabis done for you with everything, you know, for you in your life, like especially with everything in the military and just coming back and like, normal life again? And
yeah, honestly, taking them is just, you know, for me it's always just been something like I take like recreationally, and it's just like, you know, I never go into it with like an idea like this is what I want to find out, but I feel like every time after I come back from like an experience, you know, most of the time I like come back like with something like a bigger understanding of myself, you know,
mm-hmm.
or the world, or like accepting things, like, you know, coming back like a less hateful person.
That's awesome.
And like, and I, like LSD does it on a bigger scale, like where it kind of changes like my whole thought process on something, whereas cannabis will like bring me down from like a hot place. If I'm like angry about something or something's really pissing me off and I smoke, it'll like chill me out, and then maybe I'll be like, okay, like maybe I should look into it instead of getting angry, and then, you know, it may change my opinion if I do the research.
Yeah.
So
that's cool, man. Wow. Yeah. You know, so would you say psychedelics have kind of chipped away at that anger a little bit?
That,
or made you think about it a little?
Definitely have chipped away at it. And just like the like hard exterior that I always used to put up, mm-hmm. as a person, mm-hmm. you know, like if you ever see me driving in the car, like if you're in a car next to me, my windows are down, my radio is up, and I'm singing to, like, you know, Justin Bieber, like I don't give a fuck, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's just like I'm comfortable with who I am regardless, yeah. of what I'm doing, you,
yeah,
know.
Same. Yeah.
So like, you know, you'll see me dancing in the car all alone, like I could give a fuck what someone thinks. Like I'm just having a good time, you know. Yeah, I'm alive,
man. Yeah.
What else do I want, you know?
Right.
I'm healthy,
grateful.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that, I definitely wouldn't be this person, you know, without those experiences. Like for sure I'd probably still be kind of a hard-shelled, angry person, and I can still be that person
right
today, mm-hmm. but I don't like it, you know. I don't like to pretend to be that person, you know. I just want to be overall nicer, I guess, better person, you know. But that's not to say like the anger's not like there. It's mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. Someone pisses me off, I probably fucking destroy them.
Right.
So that's like the bigger issue I have now, is like even when someone does antagonize me, like whether it's like at a bar or whatever that situation is, like,
mm-hmm.
I still have a hard time controlling, like if someone hits me, I'm definitely gonna fucking kill that person. I'm just gonna beat them to a fucking, you know, like it's bad. Like, so that's, yeah. like the new challenge for me to like overcome.
Right.
But like I don't want to do it, you know, with, you know, using psychedelics. I kind of want to do it, you know, just by kind of maybe going to like therapy, because mm-hmm. I used to do that, and I think mm-hmm. that's a, you know, better way, because you should never rely on a drug to, you know, be your therapy. I think there's,
well, yeah. What about pairing them together?
Yeah, and pairing them together, you know,
with a drug, so. With, and you have an experience, and then you talk to your therapist that's, yeah. open-minded about that.
Exactly.
You talk about those experiences, and you're like, you know, and yeah, integrate.
And that's like the great thing about, I think, therapy too, is like you could talk about the thing about those things without being judged, you know.
Right.
Maybe not judged, but like no one's gonna say shit, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's what that person
is. Non-judgmental, open,
yeah.
you know, inviting kind of space, and that's what you need. And talking about, you know, deep stuff and whatever issues, traumas, things going on, everybody's got different levels of,
yeah.
you know, mental kind of compartmentalizing of their ideas and thoughts. And I think everybody can use talking to somebody professional about their
definitely
thoughts. An objective, you know, outside of your life that doesn't know your shit and,
yeah, who doesn't know the people, you know, who's
right.
not in the same circles. Yeah,
right.
I think everyone can, you know,
there's no, and get rid of the stigma about it.
Yeah,
you know, with mental health is the most important.
Yeah, I don't think there's any, I tell people I've gone to therapy before, like, you know, with honor, like not like with honor, you know, like
yeah.
I'm happy, like I'm like,
right.
yeah, like I was man enough to be like, you know, I got some anger issues, I got some problems, I should probably go to therapy, you know,
mm-hmm,
like and
mm-hmm.
sort that shit out, because like I don't want to live with those issues and like have them destroy my life, because ultimately my main goal in life is just to be happy. I don't need to be rich. I don't need to have 5 kids or Ferrari. As long as I'm happy with whatever I'm doing, I don't give a fuck what anyone else thinks. They could go jump off a fucking bridge, man. I don't, you know.
Yeah, that's a little harsh, but
yeah,
yeah, for sure. I feel you. Yeah, no, it's about being happy. There's a lot of people with money that are just miserable.
Yeah, you know.
And they just work, 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 save, save, save. And it's like, yeah, it's important to think ahead, but what about the present moment and enjoying life? And being happy with your life and, like,
yeah.
you know, enjoying what you're doing and not like, oh, God, I've got to work and pay
yeah.
the bills.
Just, like, dreading every single day coming back. You, like, eat the same bland chicken and rice meal, you know, and then go
right.
to bed. Like, that's horrible, you know?
Yeah.
I think life is all about, like, you know, experiences and risks.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, yeah, you can't be scared to, you know, just go out there and just.
So you're down to go to the Amazon rainforest and do ayahuasca?
Yeah, man, let's
shaman.
Do it.
All right.
I'm gonna die. That
no, no,
suck.
No, no, for sure, man. It'll be an adventure, but
yeah, it would be sick.
There's no, you're not gonna die. Don't worry, man.
So anaconda's gonna like snap my leg, pull me away.
No, they'll keep us safe, man. I promise. There's lots of people that go down there now. It's become that's dope. Like a big thing.
I want to climb. I think one of my goals in life is I'd like to climb Mount Everest eventually.
Oh, sweet.
I think that would be super sweet. I think that would be super.
Yeah. Wow. Have you climb at all like now or?
I've like gone on like pretty intense hikes, you know, like pretty steep hikes, you know, high like altitude. What? Like in California, I don't remember what the name of it was, but it was pretty, it was like a pretty like high hike. Hmm. We used to do like hill runs, but
sweet.
Yeah, I'd like to do it. I definitely would train for it, you know, but
I developed this big appreciation for nature once I moved to California, man.
Yeah.
Living here in Illinois, I just didn't do it as much.
I have grown an appreciation for nature through like over the years. Like now that it's summer especially and everything's green, like even driving around, especially through Downers Grove and Bolingbrook and like the connecting like areas.
Right. There's some beautiful spots.
There's like some super like super super like, you know, beautiful spots. There's trees everywhere. It's super green, so
yep.
Yeah.
Definitely, man. There is, once you know, there's this quote, I don't know who it is, Alan Watts or somebody, that's like, once you see, you can't unsee.
Yeah.
It's like once you see the beauty and everything, once you've tripped and just seen a tree and just been like, oh my God. And like, you know, communicated with the tree, talked to the tree, thanked the tree, like I remember the first time I took mushrooms, I went to a forest preserve and I was just like, you know, like thanking the trees, like, oh, thank you for the oxygen. Like,
yeah.
I felt so thankful. Like, imagine, you know?
Yeah.
But I'd never imagined and thought about it that way. And ever since then, I look at trees in a different way. It's like, oh, you have a lot of wisdom.
What was your first experience with shrooms?
It was that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Going out and seeing the trees and forest preserve. Yep. And then my first experience with LSD was in my apartment.
And were you alone?
Or? No, with my girlfriend at the time.
Okay.
And and then I have a trip journal. That's somebody thing I recommend to everybody is keep a journal of all of your trips if you can.
That's a good idea.
It's a pretty cool. I've started it from the beginning, and I think it was just 3 years ago or something like that, not that long ago, that I did my first trip experience. And I've done LSD a few times, mushrooms a few times, ayahuasca once, and smoked DMT a few times.
And that's insane.
Yeah.
As Joe Rogan would say, have you ever tried DMT?
Yeah. It's an experience, man. I'll never forget, there's this guy at my school that came up to, I was wearing this shirt that was like the flower of life, which is on my healing intentions like picture on the podcast on YouTube and wherever. It's the flower of life, like with the sunset and Newport Beach there. When I was there in California in January, I took it. And this guy came up to me at school and he's like, yo, bro, that's what I see when I trip. The flower of life, you know, like the fractal design, geometric pattern. And he's like, you want to smoke DMT? And I was like, I don't know, man. I'm not sure, bro. Like, I don't know if I'm ready for that. Like, this is when I first started school, like 4 years ago. I was like, I haven't even like tripped before, man. I haven't even done mushrooms. Like, let me work my way up, you know?
Wait, you did DMT before you did mushrooms?
No, I didn't. He was trying to get me to. I was like, no. And then I was like, I got to work my way up. And so then I did mushrooms.
Yeah, man, that would have been intense.
I did mushrooms a few times. I did LSD a few times. And then we smoked DMT. He extracted it from the Mimosa hostilis plant.
That's crazy.
Which contains DMT. And it was just like this powder, and mix it in with a little bit of weed, and whew, man, you just blast off. Have you ever done it?
No, man, no way. That would be insane, dude.
Yeah. Holy shit. you've done more, way bigger doses of psychedelics.
Oh.
So.
Oh, yeah.
So I think you could handle it.
Maybe. I don't know. I think that it's just a thought that, like, you, like, just go away, you know? Your essence leaves for a few minutes. It's just, like, horrifying. At least with like shrooms and everything, you're there, like, you know.
There's been points in those in mushrooms and LSD where I've definitely like fell out of my body.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I feel like, but I've always been in control.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, this is you're not in control. This is the intense.
Yeah. This is like, you know.
You take a couple hits and you just like lean back and you just like close your eyes and you're
gone.
Shot off. Yeah. It's only about like 10 minutes.
I feel like maybe 15. That's comforting because like you know it's only like 10 minutes and then you're like, all right, cool.
But it feels like
Like hours?
I the only way I could find words, it was like I did a 10-day meditation retreat in silent, you know, and it felt like those 10 days is like what I experienced in those 10 minutes.
That's insane. That's crazy.
It was just insane. Like, yeah. Just, I don't even have words. It's like, how do you, same with ayahuasca, how do you describe an orgasm to somebody that's never had one?
Yeah.
Or being in love to somebody that never, like, you
yeah.
can't.
Yeah,
you
exactly. just have to experience. Yeah, you can't. That's it. You know, you have to experience that. It's like so unique that it can't be like replicated. You know, it can't be described.
Yeah, one of the qualities of psychedelics is that they're ineffable, which means there's, you can't put words to it.
Yeah.
So it's just like one of those kind of mystical, spiritual, whatever you want to call it, experiences. Yeah. That's what they found in the studies. The more of a mystical experience that people had, the more likely they were to get over their depression, their PTSD, quit their addictions.
Yeah.
All this stuff through the psychedelic, you know, and people say that they've had from one session or a few sessions what they've had in 5 or 10 years of therapy.
Yeah, that's crazy, you know.
So if you use it with that therapeutic intention, it can be very, very powerful.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying it's for everybody or it's going to help everybody.
Yeah,
but like,
exactly. But really, it's something to take into consideration, you know. You shouldn't rule it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Their studies are already showing many successes. It's been studied and used from the 50s and 60s, but then they cut it.
Yeah.
With all the bullshit, you know, going on in 1972 with Nixon and the Controlled Substances Act, and just crazy, made a bunch of drugs illegal.
I think it's so crazy that people are so quick to like take like a Vicodin over like trying like smoking weed or like, you know, like some other form of like, or like taking antidepressants over like,
right,
microdosing like MDMA, you know,
microdosing
like,
some mushrooms. Like, look,
just because it's like it's a drug. So, but it's like, what are you taking? That's a drug, you
right?
know?
Just because it's prescribed by the doctor,
yeah,
like, you know, the paradigm. It's like, look, I have on my computer this mushroom,
yeah,
and I use this computer when we had simulated patients at school, and they'd have like paid people to come in and be like actors that would pretend to be our patients, and I'd have this computer in there,
mm-hmm.
and taking the appointment, you know, whatever, and. At the end, the lady was like, is that a psychedelic mushroom? And I was like, is like this lady in like her 60s? I was like, yeah, actually it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's been a lot of studies that have been going on with it, with the, you know, mental health, with, you know, treatment of depression and addiction and different things. And, you know, it's all about reframing your idea of what is a drug, you know, and like just because a doctor prescribed this opioid that kills so many people every day, 100 overdose deaths a day.
Yeah.
From opioids, it's doctor prescribed. Very easy to overdose and die. Nobody dies from cannabis, though.
Yeah.
You know, but it's just the perception. So it's, and I said that all to the lady, and she's like, yeah, you know, you're right.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you got to reframe my whole idea of just this whole war on drugs. Like,
yeah.
People are going to do what they want to do. Like I've said it before, it's one of my big things.
It's more like a war on an agenda, you know?
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Political control.
Agenda. Yeah. To appease whoever they're trying to appease, you know, whoever's running the show,
right?
You know, that's who they're trying to appease, and apparently they don't, you know, want drugs. But, you know, things are moving, so who knows in 20-30 years what else will be legal? You know, it's crazy.
I think in 5-10 years we're gonna have a whole different world. We won't even be able to recognize it.
Yeah, man, I'm sure. Like, isn't in New York or something? Isn't there like places where like heroin users can go? It's like safe
needle
spaces.
Exchange,
yeah, something like that.
They have that all over Europe. Well, I know in Switzerland they do in different places. Portugal,
that's crazy to me, man.
That's the whole idea of it. Makes you feel uncomfortable at first, right? You're like, ooh, what the?
Yeah,
you know, but it's harm reduction over prohibition. Like, those dudes are gonna do, you know, guys and girls, whatever, are gonna do heroin anyways.
Yeah, if you want to quit, you'll quit. If not, you're not
right.
going to, you know.
When you're ready to quit, they have services and people and things, you know, ready. And I worked at Salvation Army. I did an internship rotation there, and it was awesome. And there was a lot of, you know, people there that had drug addiction, you know, for many years, hard drugs. And it's tough, man. It's tough. And a lot of the guys even said, like, I realize it's not the drugs. It's the childhood trauma and the stuff that led up to doing those drugs.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not necessarily like addiction's a very interesting thing. Like, you can get addicted to anything.
Yeah, that's true.
So is it really the substance, or is it just your environment and just your
and then your experiences throughout life, you know? Yeah.
Right.
I feel like for sure, you know, that plays probably a bigger part than we understand, you know?
Right. Big time. I think because it's a big part.
I used to dip and smoke cigarettes.
Wow.
And I don't dip anymore. And I smoke cigarettes occasionally, like if I drink, you know, excessively, and if I'm super intoxicated, I'll definitely buy a pack of cigarettes. But I don't buy them regularly. I don't smoke them regularly. So, and I just quit cold turkey.
Nice.
So, you know, and I've never felt like I've had any like addiction or like need for any substance ever in my life. You know, I've never relied on any substance. You know, I've never had that like feel. So I think maybe it is more like people's traumas and experiences through life that like push them mm-hmm. towards certain things, you know.
Yeah.
Because I know some people, you know, that like haven't had any traumas in their life, but you know, they fall to that too. So
right.
And that could just be from, you know, maybe that is a substance there. Maybe, you know, it's just their upbringing made them mentally, you know, weaker to be mm-hmm. susceptible to you know, an addiction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe it's a placebo, like, oh, if I take this, like, oh, I did heroin, I'm addicted now. Mm-hmm. You know, that could happen too. I'm sure the mind's a powerful, you know, powerful
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
I'm sure it could make you
believe. I'm sure there's addicted. People that do heroin recreationally, casually, and they're yeah. addicted.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And same
yeah.
with coke, they just do it on the weekends or whatever.
And they're fine. And, they just,
and some people don't, a lot of people don't get addicted. Like, I know in Vietnam, a bunch of the soldiers were addicted to heroin, like doing heroin a bunch over
yeah
in
they were doing a lot of opioids
yeah there. Yeah opioids here and then when they came back a majority of them quit because they weren't in that shitty ass environment anymore yeah. So it's more about like your mindset, what's going yeah. on, your environment, and then also your traumas and shit from your childhood. Like yeah, you can't blame your childhood for everything for sure, but
yeah,
it definitely can have, you know, it doesn't mean it's if you had to impact. Get raped or an alcoholic father or something, it yeah. could be even smaller.
It could be
things,
something simple, yeah.
Like bullied sure. or, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff.
Definitely, you know. You never know how, like, something so small, like a small experience could, you know, trigger and snowball someone's entire life.
Yeah.
You know, there's, like, I'm sure, we both had experiences that we don't even realize affected us.
Right.
As much as they did, you know, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. And that's what, if you've had, I'm sure, experiences during psychedelics where you're like, think of something you haven't thought of in like your whole life.
Yeah.
Since it happened, and you're like, whoa.
Yeah. And you're like, holy shit. Like, when did that happen?
Yeah.
You know, and it, but it helps you like face, because obviously that memory has been suppressed or pushed so down for like so deep down for a reason. So it
yeah.
helps you confront it and like, That's where that growth comes from, you know,
right.
That inner growth, you know, that growth in your character as a person, you know, to be able to accept more things, you know, be more understanding, be
open-minded,
more willing, yeah, to learn things,
yeah,
educate yourself.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. They say that your mind, your conscious mind and subconscious mind is like the iceberg, you know.
Yeah.
A little bit of it's conscious, most of it's subconscious. You can get to that through the different ways, you know, meditation and breath work and therapy and yeah. things like that, but psychedelics are a way to kind of just like phew,
have you, know? You ever done any breath work like techniques?
Yeah, just for a little bit. I haven't done it too much. I did a little bit when I went to the psychedelics conference in Arizona for like an hour session. It was pretty cool. Like I've heard some people say that they've had the most intense experiences with breath work
yeah
than with any substance.
I've done a little bit of stuff with breath work.
Uh-huh.
I had this boss when I was in California who like showed it to me because he like knew I was kind of like a high stress person.
Uh-huh.
And like if you do it, it's insane. It, like you take like from holding your breath for like 30 seconds to like uh-huh. 2 minutes.
Is it Wim Hof breathing?
Yeah, it's like it's some weird breathing.
Like 30 breath breaths in.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's, yeah. And it's insane.
And then you hold.
The experiences are super yep. like almost zen, like yeah, peaceful.
I agree.
Yeah. They put you at ease.
That's awesome. I've done that. Cool. I've done yeah. a little bit of that myself. It's. I held my breath for almost 2 minutes. I think I did hit 2 minutes actually one time, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Just that's, from like doing the breathing twice.
Yeah. From doing the breathing exercise.
And people
they're
say,
crazy.
People super. Say they do that for hours. And if you do that for hours, that's when you get into like the super trippy
yeah, I'm
realms.
Sure.
So, I mean, you're just hyper oxygenating yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not anything like,
dangerous
really. I mean, that's what they do for to be able to handle that cold exposure.
Yeah.
And that cold exposure, once again, like I was saying with the shower, that's back to the thing, that's good for you. It boosts your immune system like crazy. you know, shocks your nervous system, like balances it out, more parasympathetic.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, man. Well, what else is on your mind? We're going to go an hour and a half.
I don't know. What else is going on in the world, dude? I feel like
we've... a lot. A lot's going on.
I know. I feel like
things are opening up after Corona a little bit.
Oh, wait. Did you hear that Ebola's back?
Where?
Into the States. Ebola's back into the States. The CDC released an article, apparently, that said Ebola's back out. My friend was telling me this yesterday, so, you know, take it with a grain of salt. But he said he heard it on the Joe Rogan podcast. So. And then, apparently, he said people, like, there's, like, stacks of bricks.
And stacks of
concrete blocks being left on the streets, like pallets. Like, that's so fishy. Someone's pushing an agenda, like, having people destroy things purposely, I think.
It's very interesting timing. All of a sudden, like, where it happened, all the Corona stuff. And it's just, like, I think it's been a little... You know, the Corona stuff's been way overhyped. People have died, of course, and people have suffered. But I think overall the numbers are just not anywhere near where they projected. And I think I just can't believe the whole economy got shut down like this. A lot of people are suffering. Mental health is down. Suicides are up through the roof.
Yeah, I read something that said, like, they experienced a year's worth of suicides in, like, 4 weeks.
Yeah, I saw that.
I was like... What?
Yep.
I was like, so like, yeah, you'd like stop maybe the you know, COVID from killing a few thousand people, but how many more people died from suicide, which is even worse.
I know.
Because that's, you know, that's someone ending their own life. Like, that's like your, you know, the most precious gift you got, dude, is your soul, your life, what you see, what you feel.
Right.
And people are killing themselves over this. Like, not worth it.
Yeah.
I'd take my chances with the coronavirus, dude.
Yeah, man. Most healthy people have been completely fine. Most even people that have had it have had zero symptoms or very mild. I mean, this is what they're not talking about in the public, the CDC and the mainstream. Yeah, do you do to boost your immune system? What do you do to support yourself?
But what people, like, humans are driven by fear. So that's why the news everything on the news is so scary. People dying. Oh, death rates. Oh,
right.
You know, stock market crashing, economy crashing. Scare the shit out of you. Yep. It's to scare the shit because people get stuck to watching it, you know?
Yep.
So, exactly. It's gross. That's why I don't watch the news. I think it's gross.
I agree, man. I agree. But, you know, there is things that you can do. There, you can drink enough water, like I said earlier. You can get 7 to 9 hours of sleep. You can take, you know, different vitamins. Vitamin D, you know, 5,000 IU around there, maybe, you know, talk with your doctor. It's not an official recommendation. Vitamin C, you know, there's a bunch of different good herbs, you know, once again, meet up with a naturopathic doctor that can help guide you with this. But there's, you know, eating a lot of healthy, you know, fruits and veggies and not too much crap. Like,
yeah,
it's nutrition's pretty simple to me. Like, eat mostly real food.
Yeah.
Like, did it exist 100 years ago? Then you probably, it's okay to eat.
Yeah.
If it didn't, then it's probably processed and who knows what, you know, nutrition's really in there. Fruits, veggies, a little bit of meat if you want. It's pretty much all you need. Everything else is a little extra, which I enjoy. I enjoy food a lot.
I love food, man.
Restaurants, my dad's owned a restaurant my whole life pretty much. So I get a lot of enjoyment out of going out to eat and checking out a new place. You know, there's balance.
Yeah.
For sure. You can't do that every night.
No way, man. You gotta keep it balanced. You can't ruin yourself, you know. Ruin your whole diet.
Yeah.
Your whole bodily tract, dude. Exactly. Your whole body off.
Exactly.
When I eat like shit, I feel horrible for like weeks.
Yeah.
But I love eating like shit. That's the problem.
Yeah, man. Well, I appreciate you coming by and doing this. It's been a lot of fun. Man.
I've enjoyed it.
It was a good time. We'll definitely chat again. I'm sure we'll meet up. I'm sure you'll come by in California, and maybe we'll be you know, West Coast buddies here soon.
Yeah, man. Maybe.
All right, bro. Cool. Well, thanks for coming by, and talk soon.
Thanks, man.